Good morning, church family. The only announcement that we have, and I think this is also in the bulletin, is that the membership committee invites the church to a Dutch treat dinner on Wednesday night at Delano's. There's an RSVP for this. So please, please come if you can, and welcome to our worship service. Join me in our responsive call to worship. We come together to worship our one triune God. We come to abide in the Father. We come to seek guidance from the Spirit. We come to worship our risen Lord. Let us worship our one holy triune God. Our hymn of worship is number 155.
Thank you.
Even when we try to get it right, so often we get it wrong. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, you have offered up your Son so that we may know you and be united with you. You have sent your Spirit to seal us in relationship with you. You have opened the door for us to be adopted as sons and daughters. Yet we often choose a distant relationship than to be truly united with you. We overthink our relationship, we overthink you, and become distant. Forgive us, have mercy on us, and be patient with us. Continue to call us back into the true relationship that you have opened up for us. Amen. And now let us together receive the assurance of God's pardon. As God directed Moses to raise up a servant in the wilderness to heal those with afflictions, so also Jesus Christ has been raised up so that we may be healed from our afflictions and become sons and daughters of God Most High.
Is that better?
There we go. Okay. So y'all have one more week till Thursday. You already finished? All right. It's been busy, hasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, my daughter finished yesterday. On Saturday, she graduated. So you did graduate too? Yeah. She's from high school, so, yeah. Yeah, but it's been busy, hasn't it? So summertime is coming, and we've got a lot of time on our hands, don't we? And sometimes when we have a lot of time on our hands, we can get into trouble, right? Has anyone ever gotten in trouble before? I have gotten in trouble before, of course. I cut down my daddy's tomato plants. Yeah. But anyway, let me talk to y'all about something, okay? Guys. This summer, you're going to have a lot of time. You're going to be spending time with your friends and your family. Thank you. There's this word, and it's a short word. It's kindness. Well, that's a little bit longer. I was thinking of being kind. Okay? What does being kind mean? You're being nice. Friendly. What about respectful? Do you know what that word means? Okay, being respectful. Okay. Well, you know, Jesus asks us, calls us, and when Jesus is with us, he teaches us to be kind to one another. And being kind to each other. Being kind to our parents, being kind to our brothers. Even being kind to people that don't like us. Yeah, but that's, no, no. Okay, but being kind, what's something that you can do this summer to be kind to one another? What's something you can do to be kind? Let's, not even to your brother, what's something you can do to be kind to your sister? Huh? Okay. All right. What's something else you can do to be kind to your parents or people that care for you?
Cleaning up.
Yeah. What's picking up your play toys? Oh, just playing with your toys and staying out of their way. Oh, I'm sure they would like that. Yes. Well, just remember, Jesus calls us to be kind to one another. Okay? And when we're being kind to each other, we're showing the love of Jesus to the world, okay? So remember this summer, be kind to each other. Let's pray. Yeah. Dear Jesus, thank you for helping us to get through the school year. Thank you for helping us to finish strong. But thank you for this time of summer where we can relax and play and regain our strength for next school year. Lord, we know that you call us to be kind to each other and even to people that are mean to us. Give us the strength and teach us to be kind to one another. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Whitney. Let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Holy God, as we are in fellowship with your community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us in this time so that we may grow in fellowship with you. Give us wisdom and knowledge, and keep us from confusing what is simple for you. Send your Spirit to illuminate your words so that each of us may grow in knowledge, wisdom, and in love with you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our epistle lesson today is Romans 8, 12 through 17. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. Please allow me to pray one more time before we continue. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we'd be remiss if we did not lift out prayers for Memorial Day weekend. That a lot of times we look at this as a celebration weekend, but it should be a very somber weekend. Lord, let us reflect on those who have given their lives for greater causes, and help us to remember and celebrate those individuals. And just be with us in this time. Lord, I pray that in this time you would open up your scripture to us and speak through me so that the words be yours and not mine. It may be truth and used for uplifting and instruction. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. So question one, have you ever tried to explain things to a two-year-old? Anything. Or to a four-year-old. I have a four-year-old right now and a two-year-old, and it is very painful to explain anything to either of them. Or sometimes when you try to correct them, you say, this is what you're going to do. And they say, but why? It's like, well, because I told you so. And that's the only answer you need now, because it gets so incredibly frustrating. In the same way, there are even things that are difficult for scientists to explain. Like, can anybody describe to me what water tastes like? Or can anybody describe to me what the difference is between your left and your right? Or can anybody describe to me what the color blue looks like, or what the color white looks like? For blue, you might say, well, blue is like when you're cold. There was a 1985 movie called Mask. Is anybody familiar with that movie? It's really quite good. A young man has a physical disability and he's working at a camp. And there's another lady who is blind and he wants to describe to her what color looks like. So he takes a frozen object and puts it in her hand and he says, that is blue. For red, he takes something out of boiling water and puts it into her hand. He says, that is red. Now, so these images may help us to understand things, but if you try to explain to a four-year-old, blue is cold and red is hot, they might get it, or they might just say, Daddy, color is not a temperature. Color is not cold or hot. It's a color. So a lot of times when we overthink things and we try to explain things in way too much detail, it gets really, really frustrating. Or if we try to explain these things and people just don't get it, like trying to explain a concept to a four-year-old, it gets very, very frustrating. I believe that's what Jesus is going through in our passage for today. Or really like any time that we try to explain things like the Trinity. Since today is Trinity Sunday, I'm going to kind of give it a shot. Our passage for today comes from John 3, verses 1 through 17. It says, now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without having been born from above. Nicodemus says to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If you have been told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord. So in John's gospel, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He's a Pharisee. He's a leader of the Jews. He's a very, very educated man. And he's at least interested in Jesus and has respect for him. He knows there's something about him. He says, "We know that you have come from God." He is learned. He is educated. But he seems to just not quite get it. Like asking a scientist to describe color or what water tastes like. For a learned person, Nicodemus seems to be incapable of the obvious. Nicodemus also seems to be scared to profess his faith. He comes at night. He is scared of who might see him coming to Jesus, so he comes when other people won't see him. He seems to be a person of learning and influence who does not have the courage to profess their faith. And he also overthinks things, so he gets frustrated. Has anybody ever known people like that? I think that we can put a picture in our minds. But when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus replies, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" See, Nicodemus thinks that Jesus is saying that a person must be physically reborn. It'd be like saying blue can't be cold. Blue is a color. It's not a temperature. Nicodemus is overthinking it, and he's also lacking in courage. Without courage, how can we have faith? Without faith, and really childlike faith, we miss the obvious parts of faith. Sometimes things seem just so simple to us, but are yet so hard to understand if we overthink them, or if we don't have just the courage just to simply accept. Bottom line is, why do we need to complicate things so much? Now, don't get me wrong, it is important to gain knowledge. It is important to allow God to teach us more and more, to remain open to new information, to new viewpoints. But as we gain knowledge, don't lose courage. And as we gain in knowledge, don't miss the simpleness of childlike faith. In the same sort of way, if anybody here has ever been to seminary or has ever had dreams of going to seminary, it can kill people's faith because we overthink things way too much and we argue about things and we overanalyze, where we can lose our simple childlike faith. So it seems like Nicodemus just really wants to get it, but he just can't. And Jesus tries to explain it, but it's one of those many things that we just don't really have words for. And Jesus really touches on all parts of the Trinity, describing this heavenly community that we all belong to. He starts with the Spirit. Jesus says that the Spirit is essentially the seal. It is the stamp. It is the thing that seals us in the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus says you must be born from above to even see the kingdom of God, to see the purposes, to see how the Trinity works. It's essentially, how do you know what water tastes like? You drink it. How do you describe the color blue? Well, you look at it. That is blue. There aren't words. Jesus said the Spirit blows where it wants. You don't see wind, but you feel the effects of wind. You don't see the Spirit, but you see the effects of the Holy Spirit. Those born of the Spirit have effects on their lives. They are sealed in the Trinity, the holy communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is the seal and the glue that unites us in this holy Trinity. And then Jesus talks about God the Father, who we are joined with. God is love. Jesus said, "And God so loved the world that he is willing to give his own Son so that we may be in a relationship with God who is love, so that we may abide in the Father." God, whose love is unconditional and calls us to a right living because he loves us. God is that love. God is that purpose, that reason for the holy community. And then Jesus talks about the Son. He talks about himself. Now, if we go back at the beginning of John's gospel, he starts out with the Word was with God and the Word was God, is God. Then that Word, that spoken Word of God, where God just spoke and the earth and the heavens were created, and water was separated from land, and life was created. That spoken word put on skin and came down to earth. Because Jesus is eternal. The Son, all parts of the Trinity are eternal. Jesus was with God in the beginning and is God. Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning and end. And Jesus said, no one has ascended to heaven except for the one who has came down. Jesus is the one who came down from heaven because Jesus was with God and is God. He is the one who came down and must go back up. Jesus is the part of the Trinity that comes down and shows us what the kingdom of God is. Shows us what life is supposed to look like. Shows us what relationships are supposed to look like. So if we want to know God, who is invisible, we look to the visible image of God, who is Jesus Christ. If we want to know what life should look like, we look to the creator of life, who is Jesus Christ. And if we want to know what our relationships should look like, we look to the one who modeled servant leadership and true love of one another. That is Jesus Christ. And in the last part of Jesus' describing who he is in the Trinity, he talks about how Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. I love this part of the passage. This passage, this little story happens in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. The people of Israel are wandering through the desert. They're griping, they're complaining, they're worrying like they do the entire time they're in the Exodus. And God sends snakes to go and bite them. And the only way to heal them from these snake bites is Moses puts a golden snake on a pole and holds it up, and whoever looks at this golden pole will be saved. It is a baffling passage about a magical snake on a stick. But then if we think about it, if we hold up something, where do your eyes have to go? Up. Where is the general location that we think where the Trinity, where God dwells? Up. Where are the snakes? Where are our troubles in life? They're on the ground. They are in front of us. So what God is saying is if we look up to God, we will be healed. Now, that gets a little bit tricky because healing comes in a lot of ways in life. This is not a magical stick where all of our infirmities may be taken away. But it is that hope, that peace that we have in whatever our circumstances are. That if we can take our eyes off of our troubles, off of our snakes in front of us, and look up to God, who we are in a real relationship with, that is where real life is. And in the same way as Christ was lifted up and was crucified, if we look to him, that is our path for peace and joy and hope. Our salvation lies in looking to Christ lifted up, not at the troubles at our feet. Jesus is the path and the way to join this Holy Trinity. So we get to join this Trinity. In order to do so, Jesus says we must be born again. The words that John uses in this passage are really fun. It's Greek. It's genethe anothen. Genethe anothen. Genethe is the verb genao, which just means to be born. But it's used passively, as in you are born. You do not choose to be born. The Spirit rebirths you. And the other word is anothen. Anothen means again, and it means to be born again. But interestingly enough, it can also mean to be born from above. Now, if you talk to really, really smart people who are much smarter than I am, they debate these words so much. Is it born again, or is it born from above? I think that we can really overthink this. Nicodemus thinks it's really about being born again. And Jesus says, yes, yes, you must be born again. You must have a new life, a new community. The old is gone, the new is come. Jesus is saying it's also from above. As Jesus is the one who came from above, who was with God and is God and came down to be with us. And also as Jesus is like that serpent on the stick who is raised above, our life must be connected to God, focused above, not at the troubles at our feet. This is the community that we are sealed in. So we must be born into the Spirit. We are children of the Spirit. We are united in the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Nicodemus never gets this. I mean, does he think too much? Does he not have the courage to accept these things? But in Romans, in our passage that we read, Paul explains to us what we are connected to. Paul says that we are no longer slaves, but we are children of God. When we enter into this relationship, we enter a spirit of adoption, not a spirit of fear, where we get to cry, Abba, Father, which essentially means daddy. The word for cry here is an eager expectation. It's a longing. It's a hope. It's the cry of an infant. We have no need to fear because we are connected to the Trinity who is love. We are connected to the Son who was lifted up like an infant who depends on their parent. That is the cry that we can give to God because we are sealed with the Spirit. And again, there are no words to express our connection. It's like trying to describe what does water taste like or what does blue look like. We just don't have words for it. But the bottom line is that we are connected. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is the connection that we have. Paul's central claim is that through the Spirit, we are children of God. This is not just a release from slavery, so therefore go on your own, good luck to you. This is going from slavery to be adopted by royalty. And more than royalty, by the King of Kings. That is why we can cry out, Abba, Father. Because God is our Father and we are adopted by God. He is close at hand as a father is to an infant. So we are united with Christ as brothers and as sisters through the work of Jesus, through the work of the Spirit. If we know the Spirit, then we are sons and daughters of God. Therefore, we are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And this is a choice that we get to make. We should all strive for connection to the heavenly community as much as we can, because this is how we can grow. But the bottom line is that trying to explain all of this is like trying to explain your left hand from your right, trying to explain the color blue or the taste of water. But the great good news is that we don't need to explain it. What we need to do is experience it. And we need to share these experiences with others. So let us all go out and tell other people about God however we can. But let us grow in our relationships with the Trinity. And let us grow in our relationships with one another and proclaim the world to the world that the way of having life and peace and joy is through seeing Jesus lifted up and through this perfect fellowship that we do have with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please pray with me. Gracious, loving God, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you have demonstrated to us what relationships are. You have demonstrated to us who you are. But help us not to overcomplicate things. Let us just strive to accept them and to experience what it means to be in a relationship with you. Lord, we lift up all the prayer requests that we have in this congregation for today. Lord, there are many needs that are said and unsaid. I pray that you'd be with each and every one of them. Lord, for those who are grieving, especially on this Memorial Day weekend, we pray that you would send comfort. For those in need of healing, I pray that you would send healing. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to be your feet and your hands, to carry your message into the world, and help us to stay connected to you, the holy and perfect community. And now let us all pray using the words that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand with us and say what we affirm using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now may our ushers please come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Gracious, loving God, Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you've given us, so many gifts that we will never even realize or be able to fathom. Lord, be with us this day, though, and use the gifts that we have given, that we have had the opportunity to give back just a portion of what you've given us. Use them to multiply your kingdom and bring your glory and your hope and salvation to other people. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. And please join us in singing hymn of worship number 343. Thank you. As we go out, I do encourage all of us to spend some time reflecting on what this weekend really means to people, for those who have been in service, for those who have lost loved ones in service. We just pray that the Spirit may go with you and that you may encourage others. Now I encourage all of us to go out, spend time also reflecting on what it means to be connected to the Trinity, to the Holy Communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And may the grace and peace and mercy and love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with each of us until we meet again. Amen.